Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, all without any manipulation, no con games, no asking for money, no soliciting any membership, nothing like that. Just trying to give you some information so you can verify as well as identify God's wonderful plan for your life. And if you want to, then you can orient and adjust the plan. FLOT, F-L-O-T is the name of the show. Some people think it's Flatline, Flightline, different things. But FLOT, F-L-O-T stands for Forward Line of Troops, F-L-O-T, Forward Line of Troops. What we're trying to do is show you that you can build a main line of resistance in your soul based on 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Word of God. If you will learn them and use them, then it's possible for you to stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's right, adversity we know is inevitable, but stress we know is optional because adversity is what circumstances do to you, but stress, well, that's what you do to yourself. So if you're interested in living a life like this, it's called the Christian life. It's a marvelous life. It's a way to live without worry. It's a way to live without fear. It's a way to live without bitterness. It's a way to live without implacability. It's a wonderful way to live, and it comes from the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." If you're going to live like he lived, you have to learn to think like he thought. And therefore, in Romans 12, the Bible says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. Humility was the mindset of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because Philippians 2:5 says he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. That's exactly what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. He demonstrated that it's possible to live in the devil's world stress-free. Not free of adversity, but stress-free. And it's possible to live in the devil's world using these wonderful problem-solving devices that he taught us. For example, how to confess your sin called rebound, 1 John 1:9. He taught the disciples that in John chapter 13 at the foot-washing episode. And then he taught them that they could be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would indwell them and fill them and seal them. And you can have that in your life as well. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are indwelled and filled with the Holy Spirit as long as you're dealing with your sins consistently. It's when you don't confess your sin that you quench the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit. But rebound, filling of the Holy Spirit, the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3, standing on the promises of God. If you're interested in these, we have a new book out called Christian Problem Solving. It's free. As always, everything on our show is free. We don't sell information. We're not trying to mass a large amount of money. We do trust the Lord to help pay our bills, that's for sure. But this book is available free of charge. If you want to get in touch with us, go to the website, rickhughesministries.org, and drop us a note and say, I'd like to get that book, Christian Problem Solving. I remind you, this radio show is playing this morning in over 100 cities across America, everywhere from Sacramento, San Diego, San Francisco, to Detroit, to Green Bay, to Albuquerque, to Atlanta, to Anchorage, Alaska, to Las Vegas, New Mexico, all around Las Vegas, Nevada, all around the world, all over the United States. We're playing this radio show, and that's a really wonderful opportunity that I have to put the Word of God out there. Now, when you're taking the Bible and learning the Bible, there have to be some observation as well as interpretation and then obviously the application where you apply it into your life. Observation, interpretation, and then application. So here's a verse, and I want to tell you what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about liars. Liars, lying. It seems the whole national pastime in America today is lying. Proverbs 12:22 says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Lying. Who does the lying? Who's the one telling the lies? Well, the cosmic system, the cosmos, is full of lies because it's the devil's world, and he operates in darkness called lying. The number one liar in our life today is organized religion and politics, those two things. And because they give you false ideas and false hopes based on a narrative that's not true. So lying lips are an abomination, and the Hebrew word for abomination is tobah, and it means disgusting or abhorrent to God. So you can get from this verse, the Heavenly Father does not deal lightly with those who lie. In Colossians 3, 9 and 10, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed after the image of its creator, renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You are told here in this verse to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Renewed in knowledge means learning how to live the Christian life. You don't automatically just wake up a Christian when you accept Christ as your Savior and understand everything God has for you. You have to learn how to live the Christian life. There are mechanics involved. This is where we have problems today in our churches in America. No one wants to teach mechanics. Heck, I went to a Bible college and didn't teach me mechanics. I mean, they taught me the Bible. I understood that. But the mechanics of being a spiritual believer, the mechanics of spiritual growth, or what even is the spiritual life? No one ever mentioned that to me in Bible college. What is the spiritual life? You have to learn what it is, learn how to live it, execute the spiritual life, and know that it's after the image of the Creator. In other words, we're to replicate Christ. We're to be occupied with Christ. That's problem-solving device number 10. In Psalm 34:13, the Bible tells you definitely keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Those are two different things. Evil is the genius of Satan. Grace is the genius of God. So when the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. Grace is God's operating system. But Satan will take grace and twist it, and he'll put a half a turn onto it and make it sound like the original, but it's not. Here's the example. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works. That's grace. Here's Satan. For by grace are you saved, plus giving up eating peanuts and popcorn and pecans. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. But that's what he does. He takes grace and puts a half a twist on it. It sounds real. It sounds like the real thing, but it's not. He's a liar. He's always been a liar, and that's what he does. So lying seems to be a national pastime in America today, not only from the devil himself, but from those of us that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis, whether it's a little bitty white lie or sometimes a bold-faced lie. You know you're all tempted. Well, I'm tempted. We're all tempted to lie at some point in our lives. Politicians lie, preachers lie, police officers lie, people lie. The national tragedy is this in America, that we're being lied to daily, every day, in order to shape a narrative or to create some sort of deception. Politics and religion are two of the biggest liars in the national disease of lying. Remember, nobody set you down, taught you how to lie. I mean, you didn't go to lying 101 to learn how to do it. It's part of your genetic makeup as a member of the human race. And the same is true for hatred, for jealousy. You were born with these character flaws that originated from your sin nature. You knew how to lie early on when you were just a child, and your mama would say, did you do that? And you'd say, no, ma'am, I did not do that. And yes, you did. You know you did, but you lied. And you say, well, it was just a little white lie. Yeah, but white lies, little white-faced lies, led to big bold-faced lies. So Romans 5:12 tells us this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We are born spiritually dead. We are born separated from God. But the original lie came from Satan. The temperament of the cosmic system is lying. It's the whole temperament of the cosmic system. And it originated with Satan in the Garden of Eden to begin with. And this is very interesting. Here's what he told Eve. Now, when the serpent was more deceptive than any beast in the field, which the Lord God had made, he, the serpent, said unto the woman, yea, has God said to you, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Question mark. And the woman said unto the serpent, well, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said we should not eat of that, nor should we touch it, lest we die. And the serpent, which is a.k.a. the devil, said to the woman, you are not going to die. That's a lie. That was a bold-faced lie. They did die. Not physically, but died spiritually. And you are born spiritually dead because of this. This is why you have to be born again, to be made alive again in Christ Jesus. You're born spiritually dead. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit, and you're spiritually dead. When you accept Christ as your Savior, when you're born again, the Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You're made spiritually alive. But Satan lied. You're not going to die. Yes, she did die, and Adam died. And then Satan went on to impugn the name of God. Here's what he said in verse 5 in Genesis 3. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. So Satan accused God of not being honest. He accused God of covering up things. That's what Satan does. He's a liar. Our Lord Jesus Christ describes Satan as the father of lies. In John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. By the way, he's speaking to the religious community there. He, a.k.a. the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. There is no truth in him. Have you met individuals like this? They just don't, they can't tell the truth. You don't know whether to believe them or not believe them. And that's what we're getting to in America today. A nation of liars. People are obsessed with lying for one reason or another, and we'll talk about that. The devil has a college of deception. I call it the cosmic system. And in that college of deception called the cosmic system, there's a curriculum based on lies. And those are called human viewpoint thinking. If you learn from this college of the cosmic system and repeat what you learn, then you're going to be complicit with Satan and spread his false narrative about the world and about the flesh and about what's going on. You see, he's a liar, and everything you learn in his system is a liar. This client nation, and I'm going to quote now from someone, I don't really know the name of this person, but I ran across it and I liked what I'm about to tell you. They didn't call it a client nation, they called it a nation. But they said this nation, and I say client nation, USA America, is lost in a whirlwind of lies, destined to grow into a tornado of tragedy and ultimately result in a cascade of consequences. You know as well as I know, you don't know who to believe when it comes to the virus, for example. What's going on? You don't know whether you should take the shot or not take the shot. You don't know whether you can get the virus or not get the virus. You don't know who to believe politically, whether you believe this one or whether you believe that one. You don't know who's lying and who's telling the truth. That's the way Satan works. He's the father of lies, because lies are told in the darkness, and lies are confusing, and lies are designed to confuse you so that you cannot make the right decision. The number one lie of organized religion is this. Do you know what it is? What's the number one lie told in organized religion? It's salvation by working for it, and not by faith alone, in Christ alone. This is the number one lie, and it's a common misconception in organized religion. Romans 3:24 says, being justified as a gift by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's how you're justified, by grace. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't drink. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't cuss. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't fornicate. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't do anything. All the work has been done on the cross. Christ himself paid for our sin. He redeemed us out of the slave market of sin. He paid the penalty. That's why the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God by means of Him. So the misconception in organized religion is that you can save yourself by being good, by being a moral person, by being nice, by not doing bad things. That's a lie. You will go straight to hell when you die if you think that you're going to go to heaven based on how good you are. That God's going to look at you and say, well, I can see you were a pretty good boy, pretty good girl. You didn't do too bad, so I'm going to let you come in. You, on a scale of 1 to 10, you were only like a 7, but none. The 5s and the 4s, they can't get in. That's stupid. That's not what the Bible teaches. You know, this whole thing has gone haywire today. 25 July in 2021, there was an article written in the Western Journal reporting this, American church has fallen. The American church has fallen. I'm quoting this article now. It talked about the shocking poll that showed that fake Christianity has supplanted the biblical worldview. Did you hear that? Fake Christianity has supplanted the biblical worldview. Writing for the journal, the Western Journal, Rachel Bratton said this, American Christianity has fallen thanks to a cultural corrosion and a lack of biblical literacy, and a new fake Christianity is now being preached within the American church. I'm going to say this again. It's amazing. She saw this. Thanks to cultural corrosion and a lack of biblical literacy, a new fake Christianity is now being preached within the American church. Lack of literacy means you don't take the Bible literally. You think it means something else. It's not really talking about a really hell is a real place where people burn. No, it doesn't really mean that. Yes, it does mean that. And cultural corrosion, he has no doubt about that. What used to be evil is now proved as good. In the 50s and the 60s, certain things that we knew was evil, certain things would have never gotten past first base. Now we applaud it as they march up and down the street and proclaim their rights. And we say, well, it's okay. They're good people. They may have a different cultural desire, but they're basically good people. Well, good is now evil, and evil is now good. That's the way you've heard me say it before. What used to be evil is now good, and what used to be good is now evil. You're evil if you don't believe those lies that they're told to you in the media concerning certain situations we'll talk about here in a minute. She went on to say this counterfeit religion is a moralistic therapeutic deism. That's a lot to say, moralistic therapeutic deism. And that means it's a worldview that's quickly gained prominence and given many Americans some sort of theology that looks nothing like historical Christianity, despite what they claim. She then went on to cite the recent work of George Barna. You say, who's that? He's head of the Barna Group that specializes in studying religious beliefs and the behavior of Americans at the intersection of faith and culture. She went on to quote him, whose February survey showed that the moralistic therapeutic deism, or MTD, is nothing more than a watered-down, feel-good, fake Christianity, and it's the most popular worldview in the United States of America today. The faith that motivated Americans today is not the singular faith proclaimed by John Wesley, who said, you must be singular or be damned, or the confident faith of St. Paul that said Christ died for our sins, was buried, and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, nor is it the creedal conviction of the early church where they would say, I believe in God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, remember that, creator of heaven and earth, believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Nope, the contemporary church faith isn't even anchored in the bold exclusivity of Jesus Himself, who said these words, the words that are no way around it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. The new religion in America isn't anything this stable. It isn't anything this historical. It isn't anything this enduring or deep or true. It's some sort of synchronistic amalgamation of Bobby McFerrin, who was a folk jazz singer known for his vocal techniques, and Black Lives Matter, some sad sloppism. Sloppism is the self is all we can, is that self is all that we can be. Let me say that again. The self is all that can be known to exist. So the sad solipsism of don't worry, be happy, as we all celebrate the queering of all that ails us. And I'm not talking about homosexuals. Queering is a legitimate word in the dictionary. It means to spoil or ruin. And so this is what he's saying. This synchronistic amalgamation is ruining us. This is a lie of organized religion that goes on every Sunday in many, many churches. Another number two lie of organized religion is this. Religion often teaches that morality is equivalent to spirituality, and that's a lie. Spirituality comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit, and morality comes from the strength of the sin nature. Not cussing, not drinking, not doing sinful deeds does not mean you're living the spiritual life. This is an area where Satan has had a lot of success in organized religion, because the wrong type of good works is a specialty of the cosmic system through religion and humanism. Yep, the wrong type of good works. And that's where you get involved in some sort of protest, some sort of trying to clean up the devil's world. You're not going to clean up the devil's world. You're not going to go to heaven because you're involved in protesting and organizing, trying to clean up the devil's world. Human good is not acceptable to God. Why? Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as unclean things, and all of unrighteousness as filth, all of us as unrighteousness as filthy rags, and we all of us do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You know, this spiritual condition of the mature believer is a sad thing to see, because they don't understand what the Christian life really is. You can't clean yourself up and get to heaven. You can't clean yourself up and be a crusader and impress God. We are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness is like a filthy rag. Nasty, filthy, dirty, oily, greasy rag. And we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The best thing you can do does not impress God. So that's a lie of organized religion. Spirituality is a wonderful thing. It means you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Maturity is an even better thing. That means you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you're being a mature believer. You're replicating the life of Christ as you're supposed to do. And then there's political lies given to establish a false narrative and promote the evil thinking of the cosmic system. You know, you've heard it, global warming. Global warming, science-based theory that unless you stop doing certain things like driving your car around and burning gasoline, that you're going to destroy the world. I have news for you. Only God can destroy what God created. If you want to see how it's going to be destroyed, you read in your Bible 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 through 12, and you will see how the world will be destroyed. But you're not going to destroy it because you drive a gasoline-powered automobile. Global warming is a lie. Internationalism is a lie, that we all are brothers. We're not all brothers. God separated the nations in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, and designed different languages, put people in different places, and we're not all designed to be the same. I do a lot of fishing. I can promise you bass don't swim with brim. They eat them. Brim don't swim with catfish. Catfish don't swim with crappie. God made us different for a reason. So back to telling lies. Let me ask you this question as we wrap the show up today. Have you lied this week to your spouse, to your boss, even to the government? If you're a Christian, this is considered one of the sins that God despises. Proverbs 6:16 tells us this. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, wait a minute, seven are an abomination unto him. Here they are. Listen to them clearly. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. That's a gossiper or a slanderer. These sins break fellowship with God, and they quench His Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you must confess anything like that quickly. Because James tells you, even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell itself. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed. But man cannot tame his own tongue. No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly, evil thing full of deadly poison. You have to learn to live the spiritual life to contain the tongue. Everything the tongue says starts as a thought in the brain. And bitterness and vituperation start as some sort of mental attitude sin. So get this down and remember this carefully. If you lie to other people, you will lie to yourself. It's called self-deception. It's one of the stages of arrogance. If you have self-deception, you have unrealistic self-image. In other words, you want to be treated in a way you're not worthy of being treated. National lies are indicative of national destruction. I'm going to run out of time before I have a chance to tell you about that, but you can read about it in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. America is destined to be destroyed unless something changes quickly, because we are people that love to lie, and we live in lies. And we can't go on like this much longer. Only you can change the course of history, and that means your spiritual life is a credit to you. As goes your personal spiritual life, so goes the history of this nation. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're learning, and I hope you will apply this information. If you'd like to get that book called Christian Problem Solving, write to us, rickhughesministries.org. We'll send it out ASAP, free of charge. Thank you for being here this morning, and I hope you'll pray for us as we prepare next week's message. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, same station. We hope you continue to listen. Write to us if you have a question, anytime, any place, any day. We're there to answer that question for you. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.